Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, there's been a certain salmonella outbreak linked with certain types of frogs. We have to think about what kind of pets are we, you know, giving our children, and are we putting them at risk both with the pet food and what kind of pets that they have? My guest is Dr. Mary Ann Jackson. She's a member of the AAP Committee on Infectious Disease. So, Dr. Jackson, let's talk a little bit about salmonella infections. First, what's the most common way children are exposed to it?
Well, salmonella in general, you know, we see quite a number of infections each year. In fact, 1.2 million human infections from salmonella. And by far and away, the most important way that you could contract salmonella is a foodborne exposure. Having said that, about 74,000 times a year, this results from an animal exposure, typically reptiles and amphibians.
Okay, so reptiles and amphibians, and as I understood it also, there was a little turtle, you know, a little turtle involved, some little mini.
So when you think about reptiles, reptiles would be turtles, lizards, iguanas, snakes, and alligators, and amphibians would be frogs, toads, newts, and salamanders. So I think people do know about the little turtle band that came out in about 1975.
Yeah, I remember that.
And because we did know that those little turtles with shells that were less than 4 inches in diameter, were associated with carriage of salmonella and then shedding of salmonella, which could then go to a child. And so those were banned, and yet there's still a lot of other non-traditional animals out there. And then this most recently, the African dwarf frog, which is an aquatic frog that has been implicated in a large outbreak that occurred in children between 2008 to 2011.
So, Dr. Jackson, what would you recommend parents as far as pets? Now, we have a hamster and we have a dog. And, you know, I make the kids wash their hands when they're done playing with the hamster and even feeding them, you know, the food, that sort of thing. What do you recommend? Are there certain pets you just don't want parents to think about having?
Well, think about it in terms of traditional pets and non-traditional pets. And non-traditional pets are, in particular, the animals we're talking about today. And this would be, there are individuals who in their homes have not only reptiles or amphibians, but we'll see people with rabbits or weasels like ferrets, occasionally poultry, which can also carry salmonella. We're getting close to Easter. Every year at Easter, we will see cases of salmonella linked to somebody who's brought little ducklings or chicks into the home. Occasionally, you'll see people with pigs, goats, or sheep, and even sometimes some wildlife like, in fact, lions and tigers and bears.
And
really,
monkeys.
Oh my.
Yes, and monkeys.
And monkeys, exactly right. So these would be considered non-traditional. And in terms of the non-traditional pets, there are going to be some that are associated with infections. Hedgehogs, for instance, are associated with a particular kind of skin infection. It's the amphibians and reptiles that are associated, and poultry with salmonella. And so when you ask about guidelines, you know, what we think is there are certain individuals, especially as we think about salmonella, that within a household, those type of pets that would carry salmonella, amphibians, poultry, or reptiles, not appropriate for children less than 5. And in this outbreak that occurred, one thing that they found is that in many cases, they found the germ also in the habitat of the animal. They even found it in a daycare. And in many of these cases, how you care for the habitat, meaning where you emptied the water from these aquatic frogs into the sink, into the bathtub where the babies may be bathed. So there are a lot of things that parents can do, super knowledge of which pets are appropriate, particularly for children under the age of 5 or in a home where there might be an immunodeficient child, and then just some basic guidelines for prevention of spread of human diseases from exposure to pets. Supervision of children, hand washing, as you mentioned, is very important. not allowing children to kiss their pets or to eat, drink, or put objects into their hands after handling the animals, some very basic things. Not allowing the non-traditional pets in particular to wander freely. I have seen instances where iguanas, you know, kind of roam the home and that the home is contaminated with salmonella. And then avoiding rough play and making sure your animals are cared for.
What about salmonella? You know, because it can be in food. We've heard about it with, you know, uncooked meat or in eggs or something. If a child does get a salmonella infection, whether it's foodborne or from a pet, what are the treatment? How dangerous is it?
So it certainly can result in hospitalization. But fortunately, in this particular outbreak scenario, about a third of the kids were hospitalized, a third of the patients with this. No one died of it. And in terms of treatment, in fact, we do not have to give an antibiotic for the treatment of salmonella infection, except in special cases, in newborn babies who are more likely to have very serious complications and can die from salmonella infection with meningitis, and these are babies under the age of 3 months, for instance. Anybody who's immunocompromised or anyone where they have serious infection with bloodstream infection. Having said that, the vast majority of kids get better on their own and the treatment is supportive.
Wow. I mean, because I would think as a parent, you'd be so scared and you'd say, you know, antibiotic and hospitalization, because you hear about people dying. So in this particular situation, now, is it worse than, say, foodborne salmonella?
It's not worse than foodborne salmonella. Salmonella infection, when it causes disease, causes the same disease, you know, for the most part in every case, and that is this is a diarrheal illness. Many children will have fever. Some children will have abdominal pain with this, and so you're treating and supporting children with a significant diarrheal illness. Antibiotics not only don't help in most instances, but it will prolong the length of time that the child will actually shed the salmonella germ in their stool and could provide a risk for other people within a household or perhaps in a daycare center.
So hydration, obviously, is going to be a very important... Hydration and nutrition. Nutrition being?
Making sure that while the child's recovering from this diarrheal illness, that they get back to a normal diet and that they continue to maintain their growth while they're recovering.
Can they go to school? Is this infectious or they need to stay home till it's cleared?
So as far as salmonella and going to school, you have to be free of diarrhea before you can go. And so that's going to be the key. And how long does diarrhea last in salmonella infection? Usually between 3 and 5 days. And so in terms of a child care center, if you have a symptomatic child, they have to stay out until they are asymptomatic. And they don't have to be tested or receive an antibiotic or anything else before they go back there. It is important to note, though, that for children with prolonged carriage and shedding in their stool, that extremely good hand hygiene within that household is recommended.
In the last 30 seconds, Dr. Jackson, your best advice for salmonella-borne illness and various little reptiles and pets.
Okay, be aware that frogs, reptiles, and poultry can all carry salmonella. Do not be dissuaded. If you go to a pet store to purchase a pet, know that you can't test, you can't prevent the animal from shedding the organism, and that you have to be aware that this is a significant risk for your child within the home, particularly if they're under the age of 5. These are not good pets for children in that age group.
Not good pets for children in that age group. Remember, parents, you have to be a little bit aware of some of these things that could put your child at risk. And that's what it's about. It's about healthy children. They're by the name, Healthy Children. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.